Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Every 8 or 10 weeks, we like to check out the mailbox and see what is new with our listeners. And oh my gosh, we've got a bunch of great questions today. It's Ask the Guys on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years could be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. For more information, qualified accredited investors should email coconuts@realestateguysradio.com. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. Email coconuts@realestateguysradio.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. For more information, email coconuts@realestateguysradio.com.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
Just finished up with an amazing How to Win Funds and Influence People. And wow, a lot of new people today.
It was a lot of fun. It was great to see new faces. It's really interesting. You know, you see some of these people that have been listening to us for years, and then they finally make the leap and come out to an event and get a chance to meet us face to face and get a chance to meet the tribe, if you will. And then you get people that we had one guy that he just heard the show or just learned about us, and boom, right away he signed up and came out and joined us. So, you know, you never know when someone's going to be ready to go, but we appreciate you when you get a chance to come out of the anonymous ethos of the audience and come into the real world, bricks and mortar world of a Real Estate Guys live event. So if you're interested in learning how to find out when you can come hang out with us, go to realestateguysradio.com, look under the events tab. We have all kinds of fun stuff going on.
Every single day, people send questions to us, and some of them are like, how do I get on your show, and how can I be a sponsor, and things like that. And other times, it's people that have questions about real estate, and so we like to do these Ask the Guys shows, your questions and our answers. So we've got a great show today. Here are the ground rules. We are not tax professionals or legal professionals. We do not give advice. What we give is ideas and information.
Yes, absolutely. Because ultimately, when you're going to go put real money out to work in the real world, you're going to want to have real experts representing you who are going to provide you the technical advice and the expertise that you're going to need and the protections that come along with hiring a professional. But if you want to go get the most out of the people you're going to be working with, it's always good, as we said many times over this last weekend during the training, if you want great answers, you got to ask great questions. So we're going to try to help you with that to the best of our ability today on Ask the Guys.
Our first question comes from Joseph in Tacoma, Washington. He says, hey guys, if I make a cash offer and they accept, what's the soonest I can move in? And how low can I go under the asking price if I pay cash? All right. Well, a couple of good questions there, and brings up this concept we should talk about, and that is price versus terms. If you have a house listed for sale, you supposedly have done your homework. You've looked at the comps, comparable sales, what sold recently in the neighborhood that's similar, and you and your broker come up with a price. And generally, the market, that is, the buyers who are in that marketplace looking at that time, are going to have their thumb on the pulse of what a good value is. So let's say that the house next door to you sold last week for $175,000. It's virtually the same house as yours, maybe reverse floor plan. House across the street sold 3 months ago at $189,500, and the house around the block, similar house, similar floor plan, sold at $188,250. Those are your comps. So that gives you kind of a range of what you might be asking as a seller. Now, a seller who is motivated is going to say, well, I'm going to go for $174,900, lower than any of the other comps, because that will likely chase up a good buyer. But a lot of sellers don't think that way. They go, well, let's try it at $225,000. You know, there's not a single shred of information that says you could ever get $225,000 for it, but people just want to try it. which, by the way, is a terrible, terrible strategy. It's a little known fact, but most realtors know it, that the first 3 weeks of exposure is the most exposure and the best exposure you're going to get. And if you try it high for the first 3 weeks, you've just given up 60 to 70% of the current available buyers. So dumb. But back to our story. If I came in and I decided that I knew the same information as the seller and I'm a buyer and I know one sold at this, one sold at that, one sold at the other. Okay, based on that, I'm going to offer $176,950. Well, that would be with traditional financing terms. Most houses are sold with loans on them today. So I'm going to put 20% down, get a mortgage and so forth. But if I came in as a buyer with all cash, it might be that the seller would say, hey, if you've got all cash and can close quickly, I see that as an advantage. I'll give you a little better deal. But notice I said might. See, the difference between cash and a down payment and a loan is nothing 45 days later at close of escrow to the seller, as long as the loan happens, as long as the house appraises. And those are definitely considerations. But it really doesn't matter to most sellers whether they get true cash or whether there's loan proceeds and a down payment. They really don't. It doesn't make that much difference. Now, there are motivated sellers, and those are folks that really do want cash, and they want it fast.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple things here. One is you're saying, how quickly can I move in? And yet when you're a cash offer, to your point, Robert, one of your major contributions to the deal, if you will, besides the actual purchase price, is how quickly you'll move. And so if the thing that the seller is interested in is speed, and they learn that you're interested in speed, now all of a sudden, it's not like you're doing them a favor, you're getting what you want. So even if you want to move quickly, you might hold that back a little bit and offer to move quickly as a concession to the seller as opposed to something that you want, because that way you're giving something in exchange for a better price.
And just to back up, I mean, technically, you can move in when escrow closes and the transfer of title happens and it's your property. And if you come in all cash and the team that you've selected can make that happen in 5 or 6 or 7 days, then you move in then. But it's going to depend on a whole bunch of stuff. And one of the things is the seller may not be ready to move in 3 or 4 or 5 days.
Well, that's the point. The key is this is a negotiation point about the deal that's non-price. And you just need to understand, do you want to offer it as a concession or do you want to ask for it as a concession? It can go either way. It really depends on what the other party wants. The other thing about the concept of cash is how you present the offer. If you go in and make a cash offer and you just put a little bit of earnest money up, that's interesting. But the advantage of cash, in addition to speed, is certainty. And so if you've got the cash and you really have the cash, you could put a cashier's check with your offer for the full price, as long as your contract protects you to a limited amount of damages if you don't fulfill. But you're showing them this is certain to occur. The next best thing might be to deposit it in escrow or to put a bank statement or something to prove funds, somehow letting people know, both the agent who's interested in a quick close and a fast commission and the seller who hopefully is interested in a certain to occur transaction, they may be willing to make a concession in price in order to have certainty.
Yeah, and that's the other part about it is in the eye of the beholder. Some sellers will be super motivated and your cash offer will get their attention and you might be able to make a pretty good margin there and a good discount. But others don't really care that much. They're putting the home on the market because in 3 months school's out and they want to move over the summer. You're not doing that person any favors by having them move out quickly and all cash.
It could be a disruption to their lifestyle. It would actually be something they wouldn't want to have happen.
Well, that's the point. Don't assume that an all cash offer is worth a 20% discount. It's usually not. It's Ask the Guys today. Your questions, our answers. Our next question comes from Wilbert in Southfield, Michigan. He says, hello, I own a home in Detroit, which I purchased a year ago. I rehabbed it and it's now ready to sell for $38,000. I have a retired renter that wants to buy the home for the $38,000. She has a 730 FICO score, and because she's a first-time buyer, she has limited cash on hand. We tried to do a deal in the last 4 months, but the house only appraised at $20,000. I've done some upgrades and I've had the house listed with a local real estate agent, but I think the listing's actually expired. The property's in excellent shape, all updated mechanical, electrical, floors, and paint. Location is the issue. What I'm looking for is a lender that's willing to process the deal, The current rent is $650 per month. All right, well, Wilbert, here's the deal. Just looking at that gross rent multiplier, meaning $650 a month rent on a $38,000 purchase price, that is a great deal for somebody. Now, your somebody is a tenant that wants to own it. So they'd be able to get owner-occupied financing, except for two things. Number one is the absolute amount of the loan.
Too small.
It's too small. Most lenders don't want to make a loan under about $50,000. Now, here's why that is. If the lender's going to go to all the trouble to do the paperwork and take all the information and verify the employment and go through the savings and go through the history and do the credit report and generate the paperwork and all that for a percentage of the loan amount, which is typically what they do, then the loan amount needs to be enough to get their attention. And many, many lenders just refuse to do any of that work unless they can make a minimum amount. Now, many commercial lenders won't do a loan under $2 million. So it just depends on the lender and the type of property, et cetera. Is it possible to find a lender that will make a loan on a $38,000 house to a seemingly pretty good qualified buyer? And the answer is yes, but it may not be a traditional lender.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a private lender. It's probably going to be somebody that understands the market, understands the situation, understands the tenant. Recently, they rolled back some of the Dodd-Frank stuff. It's not going to affect residential lending because it was primarily aimed at freeing up commercial lending, but it might. The point is that this is a potentially high-yielding investment for somebody because it's generating so much rent. Your buyer is going to have to accept the probability that they're going to need to pay a way above market interest rate in order to get the loan. But based on what they've been used to paying versus the size of the loan, they're probably easily going to be able to do that and end up still having a reduced rental rate. So it's definitely possible. It's probably going to be a private lender. There are people probably in your community that may be willing to do that. I don't know if this is like a crowdfunding or a peer-to-peer type thing that you could find somebody that would make this type of a loan because of the size. That might be something to look into. You didn't mention if you have equity in the deal, but you might be a good lender. You could take a modest down payment or maybe no down payment and just take a high-yielding stream of income without the responsibility of ownership. Now you no longer have to worry about if the hot water heater goes out or if there's a roof problem. All of that now belongs to the owner, but it's the same person who's always been paying you as a tenant, but now they're paying you as a borrower. And of course, if something happens, you end up foreclosing on the home and getting it right back again, and you already know what you have because you've owned it for all this time. So that's another consideration.
I think one of the issues that we generally have as investors with low-priced properties is this one. It's hard to get financing. The other one is there's only so many loans you can get that are 1-4 unit loans, and whatever that number is, 4 or 10, or there's other, you know, options for that. But at some point, do I want to quote-unquote spend one of my loans on a house that's only worth $38,000. Now, in this case, she would be an owner-occupant, so she may not be as concerned about the appraisal.
Right.
Why is the appraisal so low? Well, as you said, it's the neighborhood. So let's step back, and it's maybe too late to talk about this, but before you do this kind of rehab work to get a unit like this in good shape, you better know the market. You better know what the appraisals are. If all the houses in the area are appraising for $18,000, $19,000, $20,000, what makes you think that you're going to be able to get $40,000? Sometimes you just can't.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got a stream of income. If it's a stable stream of income, it's worth something. You've got an asset that produces that stream of income, which is the property, and you have whatever capital involved in keeping it and maintaining it and the risks involved in the direction of the market and the quality of the collateral, meaning how much maintenance or whatever might it need. But if you've got that kind of cash flow for that purchase price, you probably will find someone out there that is willing to do that deal. And of course, you're looking to sell. You don't have to sell to your tenant. You could sell to somebody else who would be happy to step into your place and could take over being the landlord. So that's another consideration.
Absolutely. One of the other issues is her limited down payment. So a lender who's going to look at this, whether it's a private lender or even a local bank that might consider something like this, they're going to look at her ability to make the payments on the loan. And a lot of that has to do with the reserves that she has. And if she spends every last dollar on her down payment, that could be tight as well. So while I can see you'd want to sell this to your tenant, your tenant may not be the best option. Just looking at $650 a month rent for a $38,000 house, you might be able to find a private investor who would take that on. So lots of different options. Great question. We'll answer more of your questions when we come back. It's Ask the Guys on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from August 24th to 27th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 10 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful, and wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2017 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year has started off even stronger. How does that translate to real estate investment? Well, that's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize when it comes to real estate investing, including both long-term and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me August 24th to 27th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet local providers that will help educate you about the market so that you can follow up with them after the trip if the market's interesting to you. You've heard about Belize or the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on events where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trips. Once you register, you'll get information about our group hotel rates as well as travel details. So join me in Belize August 24th to 27th. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under events. I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And if you're serious about learning how to invest in real estate, listen to the Real Estate Guys. They really know what they're talking about.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show today. Hey, if you ever want to do bigger real estate deals using other people's money, then come on out to the secrets of successful syndication. Syndication is aggregating capital and resources to go do a bigger deal. We've got an amazing faculty. It's going to be a ton of fun. It happens in the middle of September in Dallas, Texas. All the details at realestateguysradio.com under events. It's Ask the Guys today. Your questions are answers. Love to get questions from listeners. This one comes from Lauren in Charleston, South Carolina. She says, we own a property in Florida that we bought new a few years ago and we rented it out. After a couple of years, the tenant was leaving. We visited the property a couple of months before the lease was up and noticed significant problems with maintenance. Black, filthy carpets, damaged drywall, caked on mold and algae on the pavers, etc. We did not want to bring these things up with the tenant at that time because it would give them a free pass to make it even worse, knowing their security deposit was in jeopardy. But prior to the walkthrough, we had a contractor go through to assess the damage and review the cost to correct the problems. The contractor came up with estimates that far exceeded the security deposit we held. Since we were out of state, our real estate agent from a very reputable firm and significant experience conducted the walkthrough with the tenant. She took pictures and made notes on all of the issues, but did not confront the tenant at that time. We then sent a certified letter per Florida law within the time frame allowed to the tenant. I believe we did everything correct in this matter. But the tenant seems shocked that they aren't getting their security deposit back. Why are tenants so uncaring of the property they rent and feel they cannot maintain a house properly and still expect to get their security deposit back? All right, well, that is an age-old question that none of us have been able to figure out. We just don't know. Why is there never been a tenant in the history of Earth that owns a vacuum cleaner? I don't know. It's just tenants think differently. Many of us were tenants at one point in our lives, and it probably wasn't the most responsible part of our lives. And then when we become homeowners, we think differently. So celebrate the fact that your tenant does not have the same thinking as you do and does not have the wherewithal to buy a home they need to rent from you. But not surprising that they're expecting to get their security deposit back, even though they didn't leave the house in the same condition that you rented it to them then. This is very, very common. I started my real estate career as an on-site property manager in an apartment building. And I will tell you the number of people that would say, oh, but it was like this when I rented it. I mean, everyone said, oh, I should get all my money back because yeah, there's a few problems. So it was like this when I rented it. As soon as I heard that about the fourth or fifth time, I started taking pictures. Now, this was before digital cameras, but we had a Polaroid camera, and I would go through and take before pictures with the tenants, get their initials, paste them into the folder, and 2 years later, when we walked out, I'd pull out the file, and I'd say, well, take a look at this beautiful white wall. Now, look over there at the wall. Do you see all the nail marks? Do you see the mold? Do you see it's all greasy? That is not how we rented it to you. So a picture is worth a thousand words. If you didn't do that the first time, well, now this is an important lesson to get. But all you can do is follow the letter of the law, make the deductions. Here's what you did right. You got a third-party contractor to give you an estimate. They're doing the work. There's not much the tenant can do in most situations. Some states are a lot more tenant-friendly than others, and so that's going to play into it as well. But just understand, we would love to have enough security deposit to cover all of the damage a tenant might do, but we don't always.
No, it's just ultimately it's the cost of doing business. It's why short-term tenancies are more expensive. It's why vacancies are more expensive because you have to turn the property. So it's just part of turning the property. Now, if you find out, and I know it may feel like every single tenant in planet Earth is like this, but they're not all like that. Now, it could be part of doing better tenant screening in the beginning. If you feel that most of the tenants that apply in this particular neighborhood tend to be people that are less likely to take care of their things, they pull up in a car and it's not well maintained. You look at them and they're not well maintained. they don't look clean. I mean, you can't really discriminate against people in many ways, but you can certainly be discriminating in who you think you may want to rent to. And if you realize that the people who are standing in line all look pretty much the same and are all likely to treat your property in the same way, and it has a certain level of cost associated with it, then you just need to adjust your policies to reflect that. Raise the deposit if you have to, or maybe you may do something like this. You may say, well, we have a no pet policy because I don't want the property to get trashed, but then you know the property's going to get trashed anyway. So go ahead and open up a pet policy, get more rent, get a bigger deposit, and you know you're going to have to turn the property anyway. Maybe you sign longer leases so that when you amortize that turn over the course of the lease, you don't have to pay that as often because the tenant's going to be in there for 2 years instead of 1 year. You say, yeah, but I might give up the chance to raise the rent. Yes, but the incremental amount of rent that you would be able to raise versus the huge expense of turning a property that's been damaged, you'd be better off giving a tenant the benefit. And you explain to them, hey, this is great. I'm going to lock in this low rate. Everybody else is raising the rent. I'm going to give you a 3-year lease. Well, then they're in there for 3 years. And when they leave after 3 years and you do the turn, then you divide that over 3 years, not over one. And so there's things that you can do to try to proactively manage the situation, but you learn by doing, you learn by making mistakes, and all you can do is get the lesson and go forward and be smarter.
Our friend Walter Sanford has a great little technique I'm going to share with you, for you landlords especially that are hands-on. When he has an applicant that comes in for one of his units, he makes a point of visiting them at their current residence. There is nothing like seeing how a potential tenant is currently living to tell you what that's like. Now, you have to consult with your team to see if that's fair game in the state that you're in, but it's a pretty smart idea. It's Ask the Guys today. Your questions, our answers. This question comes from Cindy in Fort Worth, Texas. She says, hey guys, I live in Fort Worth and I have a rental home in California. This is my only real estate investment outside of my personal residence. My tenants are going to be moving, so I thought it would be a great time to sell the property. It's a single-family home. Now, I got stung by California and Uncle Sam a few years ago when I sold another property in California and paid big money to both. So, with my last California investment, I thought I would try to exercise the like-kind exchange I've heard about to buy a rental property in Texas, maybe a condo or a single-family home. If Zillow is correct in its estimated value, I stand to profit around $160,000. Would this type of transaction eliminate any taxes being paid to California, even if I should sell the newly acquired property in a couple of years? I understand I have 45 days to have written identification of a property, but where does my profit reside during this time? Who is a qualified intermediary? Is this my real estate agent or the person I'm buying the Texas property from? The IRS Form 8824 shows estimated record keeping for this type of transaction is 10 hours, 16 minutes. I'm already 2+ hours in and I'm just getting familiar with the form. I've read and reread it several times and still have questions. I'm not trying to cheat anyone, but would like to make an intelligent financial decision and bring my investment closer to home.
This is an A student.
But if it's going to take an army to maintain, maybe I'm better off paying the capital gains. Your thoughts? Okay, so A student for sure. Here's the deal. What she's talking about is a 1031 tax deferred exchange. Again, a reminder, Russ and I are not tax professionals. We don't even play them on TV.
And there's been some changes to the tax law recently.
There sure has. But one of the great tax benefits of real estate is the like-kind exchange, which basically says if I relinquish a property, I sell the property, and I follow some rules, one of which is the 45-day identification period. We'll talk about the other ones in a second. And all of that happens, and I buy another property, and as long as I follow the parameters, I defer the tax. I don't avoid the tax, I defer it. And here's the mindset behind this. Robert Kiyosaki in Rich Dad's Guide to Investing talks about how a country's tax code will tell you, if you read it, what the government wants you to do as a private investor. And most governments want to encourage people to invest in single-family houses and in multifamily houses and in residential real estate, providing homes for people that can't afford to buy them. And so there's a lot of rules that allow us to take substantial tax benefits. One of the tax benefits is this 1031, that's this IRS section code, tax deferred exchange. It means that rather than pay tax on my gain, if I put all that gain forward into another property, I get it working for me, and I don't have to pay tax then. Eventually, when I sell the second or fifth or hundredth property down the line, I'll pay tax. That's the premise of it. I think it sounds like, with all due respect, you know just enough to be dangerous with
right.
this. So the first thing is a qualified intermediary is not a tenant or an owner or your realtor. A qualified intermediary is someone who qualifies under the law as a third party. So there are people and businesses that specialize in this. We call them 1031 tax exchange intermediaries. They're easy to find. There's a lot of well-known national companies that specialize in this exact thing. That's who you want to do that part of it. But does it make sense to go through all the rigmarole to save this tax or defer it until later? That's going to depend on a whole bunch of factors.
Yeah, it's a business decision. But let me just step back because, you know, we kind of made that comment about being an A student. God bless you. You're busy there trying to read the IRS form and figure it out. And it says you should be able to figure it out in X hours and you're just barely in and you spent 2 hours. You know, life is short. You only have so much life, you only have so much time, and of all the things in life you could do, reading an IRS form, that doesn't sound like any fun at all. If you took that same amount of time and shopped around for a good CPA, and you shopped around for a good qualified 1031 tax deferred exchange intermediary, they would be able to quickly answer all of these questions for you, guide you smoothly through the process, and help you do the math so you could decide what you should do. If you decide that after doing the math and you look at, if I do it this way, I'm going to pay this much tax, and if I go through the process of paying the intermediary and whatever else you need to do, which typically isn't a whole bunch, but there is some stress because you have to find the replacement property, then you're going to save. And then you need to decide. I'm guessing because you've spent the time reading the code, you probably are the type of person that is trying to save a little bit of money and paying for advice. Let me save you a bunch of headache. Go pay for the advice, get somebody to help you, and then decide then when you actually know what the parameters are. And I think you're probably going to be happy to do the work to find the replacement property to save the tax.
And here's the good news. Those professionals that Russ is talking about don't cost an arm and a leg. They're not going to go research at $600 an hour.
They do it all day long.
They know exactly what needs to happen. And then you just do the math. Now, can you defer all of the tax? Well, again, that depends. If all of the money goes forward into the next property, it's likely you can. But to the degree that you take any money, that's called boot, and that part's taxable. Still possible to do a like-kind exchange and have it be partially put forward into a property and partially profit to you. So a lot of variables there. We say this, don't let the tax tail wag the investment dog. It may be that you can find a suitable replacement property in Fort Worth near your home. Great. but it also may be too hard for you to make all that happen in the time frames. You mentioned the 45 days. That's the first time limit within 45 calendar days. No exceptions for holidays or landing on a Friday or a Sunday or any of that. It's 45 days. You have to have identified a replacement property. There's several rules. We won't get into the details of those, but you can look that up. And then within 180 days, you have to close escrow on the property. Sometimes those two things are out of your control, especially the second one. And then the rest of the rules have to do with how much you put forward and how much debt there is in the property and so forth. You have to take on at least as much debt as you had and on. But again, your qualified intermediary can answer those questions, but it's a great, great opportunity for you. You just want to do the homework and make sure you make the right decision. It's Ask the Guys Today. Your questions, our answers. When we come back, it'll be time for us to ask you a question as we play Real Estate Trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Did you know that industrial real estate is one of the most desired and highest return asset classes in the U.S. today? E-commerce warehousing, distribution, server centers, construction, and automated manufacturing are just a few of the businesses increasing the demands for industrial properties. And you can invest in commercial properties for as little as $50,000 by utilizing experienced syndicators with the track record and experience to locate, negotiate, vet, and manage the best products in the best markets. Wilson Investment Properties is a national syndicator headquartered in Silicon Valley with a long, successful track record of investment real estate and commercial syndications. The Cincinnati Industrial Portfolio is an offering with 17% projected average annual returns and available while shares last. Email commercial@realestateguysradio.com for more information and private placement memorandum on this investment and for your free white paper on commercial real estate. Again, email commercial@realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hi, this is Donald Trump, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show today. However you do that, whether it's on the radio, on the podcast, or just overhearing it from a friend's headphones, we're happy that you're here. It's Ask the Guys. Your questions, our answers. If you have a question for The Real Estate Guys, just go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click the button that says Ask the Guys. Every few weeks, we assemble those questions and have a show just like this one. Before we get back to the great questions, it's time to ask you a question. It's our weekly edition of Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing our trivia question, which, of course, has something to do with real estate and the time of year we're in, middle of summer. We've got a great trivia question for you. As soon as you hear it and think you know the answer, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address. Because if you're the winner, we're going to send you a great book called Passionistas, Tips, Tales, and Tweetables from Women Pursuing Their Dreams. It's a whole bunch of great stories from some amazing women. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week, we wrapped up our series on profitable niches talking about single-family rental homes, and we asked this: how many greenhouses come with a standard version of the game Monopoly? Well, the answer is 32. 32 greenhouses and 12 red hotels.
32 little greenhouses for you and me.
Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. July 4th is widely known as Independence Day in the U.S. as the 13 colonies gained their independence from Great Britain back in July of 1776. Here's our real estate trivia question. What country gained their independence on July 4th, 1946? There's another country that got its independence on July 4th, Which country is that? July 4th, 1946. If you think you know or just want to take a guess, send your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, your mailing address, and the answer to the question, because you're the winner. You're going to get this amazing book, Passionistas. That's today's real estate trivia question. It's Ask the Guys. Your questions, our answers. This question comes from Addie in Seattle, Washington. Hey guys, how can I learn more and get coaching on real estate syndication? All right, well, of all the topics we could talk about, this one is very near and dear to our hearts. As you may know, if you're a regular listener, twice a year we do an event called The Secrets of Successful Syndication. This would be a great thing to come out to and learn from two points of view. One is, I'd like to be a syndicator. I'd like to raise money. I'm out of my own money and I'm out of my own loan qualification, but I don't want to stop. So I could come learn to be a syndicator when we have lots and lots of students that do. Or you might be the kind of person that wants to invest passively in a real estate syndication rather than actively buying houses and fixing them and flipping them and all that. So both those folks are great candidates to come. And the next one happens in September. And how do you get coaching on syndication? That's a little bit harder thing to do. We do actually have a syndication coaching program. The only place we ever talk about it or you can learn about it is at the syndication event.
Yeah, because you have to have a certain basis of understanding. You have to understand the business you're getting into and even decide whether it's right for you. You don't have to come to the Secrets of Successful Syndication knowing you want to be a syndicator. A big part of it is just try to figure out, do I want to be? The thing that's great about it is we're going to explain what syndication is, how it works, what the different roles and responsibilities are. We covered legal considerations, but the greatest thing is we have many, many people in the audience and many people on the stage who are active real-world practitioners, and many of them started sitting in the student seat. And so you can have real-life conversations with real people that don't have anything to sell you. They have zero agenda other than to tell you honestly what it's like to go from sitting in the seat of a student to actually getting into the business of syndication. It isn't get rich quick. It isn't get rich easy. You're going to have to put in work. You're going to have to learn things. But you know, if you're going to work anyway, why not work at something that gives you a lot of upside? You know, one of the ways when we talk to people about doing syndication is, look, if you're going to get up every day and you want to grow your investing, you have choice one. You can work, pay taxes, live like a miser, save, take that little bit of down payment, buy a property, add value, refinance, move the equity into a new property, add more savings, and continue to live that way for quite some time. And it is a slow and steady way to get rich. And it works, and there's nothing wrong with it. The other option is to get up every day and go to work raising money from people who earn a lot more than you do, who have saved a lot more than you do. And their problem isn't that they don't have enough money. Their problem is they have so much money, they need help putting it to work. And they're primarily concerned with protecting it and growing it at a rate higher than inflation. When it comes to conservative investments that can outpace inflation, that are not subject to many of the risks that go on in the stock market and the bond market, it is really, really, really hard to beat real estate. So that's what The Secrets of Successful Syndication is all about. Understanding what the syndication business is, how you could fit in, how you make money, what you need to know, who you need to know, and then you get a chance to talk to people who have actually been there, done that, so you can make a value judgment. Is this something I want to put my time and effort into learning?
We're super proud of this event, and the real estate guys aren't gurus. We aren't guys that go out on the circuit. We don't pitch books and tapes. That's not our thing. We're journalists who cover lots of topics in real estate, but in our real lives, syndication is a big part of what we've been doing for years. And so we started teaching this class 8 years ago, and about 4 years ago came up with a coaching program. We don't talk about it much on the air because, again, the only way you can find out about it is to come to the event. But I want to bring that up for a strategic point. That is, I don't want anyone listening to think that they're going to come to this and there's going to be a big pitch to join our coaching program. It is actually quite the opposite. We have an optional session to learn about the coaching program when the entire 2-day seminar is finished and done, and it's up to you whether you even come back into the room to hear about it. There is no big upsell. It's not, oh, there's only today you have to, none of that kind of stuff. We have a program. It is amazingly successful. We are so proud of our syndication students. It's not for everybody. It takes a lot of time and money to do, but if you're interested, the first step is to come to the event, and we'd love to have you there.
Yeah, just go to realestateguysradio.com, look under the events tab, and click on Secrets of Successful Syndication.
Our next question comes from John in Troy, Ohio. He says, my wife and I own a real estate investment company. We have 23 doors under rent. Awesome. We have amazing cash flow with a net cash on cash averaging 40 to 50%. We have about $300,000 of our cash in these properties. Working with local banks has been slow and limiting. We have an operation that is a moneymaker. We are looking for a private lender to be our bank and could easily pay around 8%. We're trying to simplify the process of borrowing money. What would be the best approach here? Ideally, we'd be looking for an investor that wants an 8% annual return without the complication, but that's covered financially and legally. Thanks, John and Karen. All right, well, first of all, congratulations on building up a successful business. You've cracked the code. You've got a great formula. That's all working. As is typical in any business, but certainly this type of business, at some point, you need more capital. You want to borrow easier, and banks definitely can be slow, limiting, and I'll add, irritating to the list. But it's a necessary process if you're going to borrow money. Having said that, as we talked about earlier, private capital is a faster, easier, more streamlined way to go, but it comes with a higher price. So I think there's two ways you can go here. Number one, could you find an investor or a number of investors that would take on an 8% note? The answer is absolutely. Lots of folks, as long as the security is there and the loan to value is reasonable, not 90%, maybe more like 60 or 65%, you're going to find people who are interested in that if you know where to look. The other way to do it is what we just talked about, through syndication.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, syndication is just nothing more than aggregating capital, and you can aggregate it to make an equity investment. You can aggregate capital or pool capital to make a debt investment, which means making a loan. You can raise both sides. You can bring a group of people in to do the equity and another group of people to make the loan, and as long as everything is disclosed and everybody understands what's going on, you can do it. Now, you need to be well advised, and the deal should be big enough to absorb all of the expenses that you have to set up the structure. You wouldn't do this on a smaller deal, which is the whole purpose of doing syndication. But, you know, way back when the credit markets fell apart in 2008, and we looked at what was going on, we said to ourselves, you know what, there's going to be a huge opportunity in private capital. The pathway of money from savers to Main Street was just completely disrupted. And so as that has healed, lending has come back online, which is great. And mentioned earlier, and I'll say it again, in a newsletter that we did, which is now a blog post on our website. You just look under the blog tab at realestateguysradio.com. We talked about how the Dodd-Frank regulations restricting community lending or mortgage lending had been rolled back a little bit for people to do less than 500 loans a year. And so I was actually on a conference call with George Ross, Donald Trump's former attorney, and we talked about this very topic. And we both agreed that we felt that it would open up a lot of community lending. So if you haven't looked at your community bankers lately and gone in and built a relationship, that's very different than doing business with these big institutions that are kind of cold and impersonal and you either fit in a box. Really comes down to them getting to know you as a person and your deal, and then crafting a custom deal, because they're going to hold that loan in portfolio, which means they care about you. They care about the deal. They're not just flipping it off to somebody in a mortgage-backed security, and they don't care whether it's good or bad. And so this is really going to potentially open up a whole new area of capital for these kind of deals. I think you'd be excited about looking into that too.
Now, full disclosure on community banks, they also move slowly, and they're also conservative and all that, but they will look at things that are in their community and with a very different eye. They might be interested in a portfolio loan across your entire portfolio if you're planning to keep all that property anyway. Not necessarily would they be interested in a whole bunch of smaller loans, but every bank's different. So I would go ahead and make some appointments and go around and check some community banks and start to build your story. It can't hurt, but there's also lots of folks looking to make 8%. So great question. Our next question comes from Silvana in Hawaii. Awesome. Savannah says, hey, I wasn't able to attend your events for the Future of Money and Wealth in Florida, but I'd sure love to get access to that information. How do I do that? Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. Well, that sounds like a leading question, considering the fact that for the first time in a long time, we did this incredibly amazing, fabulous event and had a video crew come out and video the whole thing?
Yeah, I think a long time is an understatement. I think the last time we actually videotaped a conference that we put on was like 2004. It's been a very, very long time. But this was kind of a one-off deal. And we just took advantage of the fact that we had this amazing, ridiculous faculty. Peter Schiff, Robert and Kim Kiyosaki, their CPA, Tom Wheelwright, Simon Black from Sovereign Man, G. Edward Griffin, who wrote the book The Creature from Jekyll Island. And the thing that's unique about this content, because here we are in an environment where the economy, by most measurements, is doing pretty well. And people think, gee, the economy's doing great. And the economy is doing great. But the financial system that the economy is built on, that's a different discussion. So if you think about the economy as the building and you think about the system as the foundation, you can have a building that looks very pretty, is painted and is working fine, but the foundation's full of cracks. Another way to think about it is to say you could be going down the road at 100 miles an hour in a car that seems like it's taking you to your destination very quickly, but if you're not looking at the oil gauge and the temperature gauge, you run the risk that the system is going to break down before you get there. That's what investors are faced with right now, and many, many people do not understand this. And so this two-day conference was all about addressing those topics. Chris Martinson from Peak Prosperity was there. Brian London, who is a gold expert. We talked about energy, crypto. We had two panels on cryptocurrency. It was fascinating. We videotaped the whole thing. We've got 20 presentations and panels discussions, plus a bonus video. If you go to futureofmoneyandwealth.com or send an email, that's a faster way to get it. Send an email to future@realestateguysradio.com. We'll get you all the details about how you can get access to this entire series of videos that we did.
It's Ask the Guys. Your questions, our answers. We'll have more when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
This portion of the Real Estate Guys radio program is brought to you by International Coffee Farms, where you can own a parcel of land in your very own specialty coffee farm in Panama for as little as $15,000. Here's how it works. Deeded half-acre parcels entitled Specialty Coffee Farms in Boquete, Panama are turnkey managed professionally on your behalf by a team of local experts. Sustainable average income is estimated at 12%, and cash flow can begin within 12 to 15 months from the date of your parcel ownership. International Coffee Farm's mission is to own and operate specialty coffee farms that are economically, environmentally, and socially sustainable. As part of this mission, 20% of the gross profits of each farm is committed to a socially sustainable fund to improve the lives of the Panamanian coffee farm workers and their families. International Coffee Farms currently owns and operates 9 specialty coffee farms with half-acre parcels available for immediate ownership. To find out how you can become a coffee farm owner in Boquete, Panama, email coffee@realestateguysradio.com. That's coffee@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe, CEO of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. If you're listening to this, odds are pretty good that you're already a real estate investor, or at least becoming one. So why do you do it? Is it to hedge inflation, the tax benefits, or maybe it's to get your money away from Wall Street? It's because of these benefits and so many more that I created the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy. When you combine successful real estate investing with the perpetual wealth strategy, you have the recipe for what has helped the wealthy to establish their financial well-being for decades. You can download the Real Estate Investor's Guide to the Perpetual Wealth Strategy today by clicking the Resources tab on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait, go download it now.
Hey, this is Phil Collin from Def Leppard and Delta Deep. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Hey, welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Be sure to tell a friend about The Real Estate Guys. This is our 21st year of broadcast.
That's ridiculous.
Seems like just yesterday. Hey, and every day people send us questions about real estate. If you have one, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on the button that says Ask the Guys. And your question like magic will come through, like this one from Tim in Silverton, Oregon. Tim says, hey guys, my schedule always seems to be booked up by the time I hear about the Belize discovery trips, including the last one you did. Do you know the future trip dates for later in the year? Well, we do, and we'll give you those dates, but we'll also tell you how you can find out just as soon as possible.
Yeah, the easiest way for any of our events is to just be on the advance notice list. So if you go to realestateguysradio.com and look under the events tab and you click on an event and a date doesn't work out, we usually will offer you the option to get on the advance notice list, which means you'll be among the first to know when the new date is posted and you can register early.
Now for the Belize Discovery Trip, the next date is August 24th to the 27th, and we're open for registration now. So come down to beautiful Belize. This question is from Matthew in Nokomis, Florida. And since we're almost out of time, this is the very shortest question we've had today. What is the definition of a performing asset? Well, that's a great question. What is the definition? We talk about performing assets. So an asset is something that builds wealth for you via its value, via its cash flow. It's something that you're going to own that's going to put money in your pocket. And if it's performing, it's doing that very thing.
Yeah, I'm going to say it depends on who you ask, because a lot of people think an asset is something that you buy low and sell high, and then you capture a capital gain, really based on pure speculation, things that don't have anything to do with you. And an investment is something you don't have to work on. If you buy a house cheap and then you fix it up, that's work, that's a job, and you've earned that equity, sweat equity, and that's fine, but that's not really an investment. That is a job.
Yeah.
So a performing asset, if you were to ask Robert Kiyosaki, is one that puts money in your pocket. It's cash flow. And of course, in investing, cash flow is equity. The more cash flow, the more equity. When you buy a property and improve the cash flow, you improve the equity. But ultimately, if you have something on your balance sheet, according to Robert Kiyosaki, which I agree with, that does not put money in your pocket, it isn't an asset.
Right. Now, here's the thing. A great opportunity for real estate investors is to find a non-performing asset and turn it into a performing asset.
Absolutely.
That's something we do all the time in real estate. So if it's performing for somebody, it may be that, hey, it's time for them to sell and you can buy it from them and it's performing for you. We call those fat cows. They're properties that have already been rehabbed and fixed and good tenants and good management, and it's all good and you might pay a premium for that.
You just milk it.
On the other hand, there's the skinny cow, which is going after the non-performing asset for whatever reason. It's in terrible shape or the tenants aren't paying or whatever that is. And if you get good at fixing those problems, then you can turn a non-performing asset into a performing asset and either sell it at a profit or hang on to that thing and milk it.
Well, if you think like a non-performing note, that's a loan that somebody's made and they're supposed to make payments. And when they stop making payments, it goes from performing to non-performing. And then you can buy that note. And if you can go rehab the note, if you will, in other words, renegotiate with the borrower, get them paying again, you can take that non-performing note and make it a performing note. And of course, the performance of the note is the cash flow, which is where the asset derives its value.
Hey, coming up the first week of November, we're going to be back in New Orleans for the New Orleans Investment Conference. It is the longest-running investment conference in the United States. You can get all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com or
send an email to neworleans@realestateguysradio.com.
It's a fun conference. There's amazing speakers, but the coolest thing happens on the Friday night. That is the Real Estate Guys Suite Party. And if you follow the instructions you'll get when you send that email to sign up, then you can join us for our suite party. Last year, it was incredible. We had this beautiful suite courtesy of the promoter, Brian London, and Chris Martinson and Adam Taggart showed up, and Peter and Lauren Schiff showed up, and Robert Kiyosaki and his team showed up, and on and on and on. We don't know who's going to show up this year, but we know it's going to be extraordinary. So come on out to the New Orleans Investment Conference. All the details by sending an email to neworleans@realestateguysradio.com. Big thanks to all the folks that submitted questions, even the ones we couldn't get to. We're taking more, though. If you have a question for the Real Estate Guys, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click Ask the Guys. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and Rich Dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.